Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Hi, Christos. Glad to have you here.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
You're not painting right now. You're getting ready for the show.
I'm getting nervous.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, his new show, he's had another show here at Imogen earlier. So this is his second show here. And the title of this show is Accessible to All. And in this beautiful brochure with these just magnificent paintings, here's something which can tell you a little bit about what you might see when you come to see his work and to meet him. This is in the front of the program. Greek-born artist Christos Kotsouras found his way to the lower banks of the Columbia River in 2010 in search of a place to create a series of work for his second solo exhibition at the Indianapolis Museum of Contemporary Art. His intent was simple: to stay 6 months for an intensive period of painting, creating a body of work inspired by the Pacific Ocean. This place of confluence took hold like an anchor dropped from a freighter, and here he remains still, finding inspiration in the currents that move land, sea, and sky. Christos, you are in the process of moving to Astoria permanently, although I think you're still going to be hopping on international flights because you have collectors all over the world.
That is correct.
And so you aren't completely moved here. But I think before we begin to talk about your work, which and Royal Nebberger has written about your work, and by the way, a shout out thanks to Carol Newman, because Carol does the Arts Live and Local program. And when we realized that you were doing this very big show that, again, doesn't fit within Imogen, mm-hmm. She said, this is a great idea for Toots, because you can talk in more depth. And your history is so interesting. So please tell our listening audience about your life.
Well, where should I start?
You were born?
I was born in Greece, in the island of Samos. I carried several years on my back and a lot of travels after that. My first travels were due to my first profession as a merchant marine, as a third officer on ships.
And that's because, as a child, you knew that you wanted to do art, correct?
As a child, well, art was there always with me. Art has been in my early years as a passion and as a way to kind of like escape reality, what we say, escape reality. And it was a way of dreaming my way past the horizon of the island I was living with, I was living in, and something that has continued to be my companion until now, and I hope and I believe in many, many years to come.
And so, as a young man in Greece, you felt art was, as you said, a necessity for you. However, it was not something that was really supported by the family.
It wasn't something you do. And if you are first born in Greece and you grow, then you have to either go to school and learn to be something better than your father and your mother, or you end up going working with your father, supporting the family. And I asked early on I was 12 or 13, to be an apprentice by a local painter, and I've been denied. And I think this denial has kind of like carry on with me in the years, in the following years of my life. And but that doesn't that hasn't done it. My drive to art, it has fueled it more. It has made me to want it more to do it than just not to. But I had to go other ways, different ways than just go and as an apprentice or go to an academy or so. I have to create my own ways to reach the point where I'm at now.
Going into the Merchant Marines, that seems like
I was like get right out of here, like leave, go, come on, start the trip, start the journey, you know. And even though we think of the Merchant Marine as a job, it has something very poetic in it, like being out in the open ocean and you're surrounded by the horizon, you're surrounded by this blue line where sky and sea are meeting. There's space for thoughts and feelings and abstract thoughts and contemplation, a lot of contemplation. It's there where you really, I learned to be alone, to be lonely, to live my life in solitude.
In the Merchant Marines?
In the Merchant Marines.
How long were you part of that?
7 years. 7 years. From my 18th to 27th, no, to 25th, where I decided to go into the arts full time. I jump ship in Ireland, actually, and I start my artist career at that point.
And then you wound up in Germany. And you told me a very interesting story about that, because you studied in Germany and you speak German fluently and lived in Germany. How did that come to be?
Well, growing up in Greece, you learn to dislike the Turks first and then the Germans throughout the years of war and animosity and bad blood. Those are the two nations that you don't like. I mean, now with the whole situation in Greece, the financial crisis, and the Germans, they are even less likable than they used to be after the Second World War. But I used to read a lot, and I still do. And one day, a book from Heinrich Bell came to my hands, and the title is Group Portrait with a Woman. And Heinrich Bell was one of the most critical voices to Nazi Germany. And he was describing Germany and the Germans from the human point, from the, like, they're humans. They fall in love, they get disappointed, they feel pain, they have dreams, they have opinions. And that was another Germany for me, which I haven't learned through the history, the books of history, and that made me curious. So one day when I was in Cologne, I stayed there 16 years and I study, and I think without Germany I won't have become who I am now, because no matter how much talent you have, if you don't bring the discipline with you, I don't think that goes anywhere. You're just a talented artist.
That is so wise, Christo. So I hope you want to, I would love you to say that again. No matter how much talent you have.
No matter how much talent you have, without a discipline, it's waste. And it's really, nature gives you a talent and you waste it without having the opportunity, without giving yourself the opportunity to discipline within this discipline of painting or scene art. And create. Apropos, that's something I used to say to my students in Indianapolis when I was teaching. I had some very, very talented people, but they were not willing to bring the time in to work. And in the beginning of the semester of the year, I will tell them, you bring in the time, as much time you bring in, so much time I'm going to give you back. You bring 1 hour, 1 hour is what you're going to get. You bring three, that's what you're going to get. So I want to see your involvement and then your talent.
Yes, and as a teacher, a professor, you were a professor there for several years, and you enjoyed it. However, you were always still working on your own. And let's go back to Germany for a second, because you were in Germany, you speak it fluently, you studied, that's where you learned the discipline.
That's exactly it.
And then you actually have your art on the Berlin Wall.
Oh, yeah, that's... well, I do have... right now, my piece is not on the Berlin Wall. I have a segment reserved for me. But I'm actually the last person to be prosecuted because of the Berlin Wall. That's something that not many people know. 89, it was the big Aufbruch, the big, like, the wall is down, Glasnost, people are free to travel. And within this time of chanting, We went to Berlin and we did this piece. The
several
East
artists.
Side Gallery. Several artists. We were like 110 international artists.
Okay, so 110 international artists right. went to Berlin.
We had to go through the process of you have to submit your work and you have to be taken in. Like you could not just walk there and paint.
Okay.
So I submitted my work, accepted. I went there. I did it. But 20 years later, there was supposed to be the paintings they need to be restored because it's a very big attraction now in Berlin. A lot of tourists go there, so they wanted to keep it the way it was 89. But I wasn't a different opinion. I wanted to take the time, which has made marks on the wall, and from what I have done to 89 and bring it up to today. And that was not possible. So there were some kind like differences, and I cannot go further on that because there is a court decision that I cannot speak openly
okay.
for this
right.
thing.
Okay, we'll leave that as it is then. Although I know that you have dual citizenship now. You have citizenship, you're German and
I'm
Greek.
I'm German and Greek, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And what made you just come to Astoria? How did you discover this part of the world?
Well, sometimes place is choosing you. You've been chosen by a place, then you choose yourself to be there. I mean, you mentioned Royal Nebeka, and actually he's one of the reasons why I'm here. When I was looking for a place to work that exhibition for Indianapolis, for IMOCA, I ran into Royal, and we have created a very mutual respect for each other, and I have to say it's a very big loss.
It is a huge loss to our community to have lost Royal Nebeka. Yes, indeed.
He was a really very thriving, big thriving force. And so after I did the work, as you said before, I was about to leave. And then I rethink the whole thing and keep coming back for more. And there have been times in between in these 5 years where many times that I thought, you know, I cannot do that. I cannot do that anymore. You know, driving up and down I-5, getting tired. And then I would always go back to Fort Stevens. I remember one day it was a kind of a grace. Really don't know what's going to happen when the sun starts setting down. And I drove down to Fort Stevens, and it was like a concert of colors. And like all the way to the end where you had a golden ochre setting down all the way down to the ocean in a very dark gray background. And I say, okay, I give up. I'm here.
So Fort Stevens became your place. It became a place from which you have now created these amazing paintings, which people can see this weekend. And it was also the subject of your last show as well.
It
but
is.
A different season.
It is. I mean, it's a place where I will call it a magical place. And not only for me, for many people as well. You know, there where a river meets the sea, it's always magic. The Greeks, they used to build their temples exactly on those places. Like on Samos, the temple of Hera is built right where, well, the river doesn't run anymore because it's dry out, but it used to be a river. So they have something magical. It's where things happen.
Yes, and it's definitely where your art is happening now. And right. what I mentioned earlier, too, is that meeting you and seeing, I was very fortunate. I was able to see his work yesterday, and you all will be able to see the work of Christos Kousouras on Friday night. There's a special pop-up preview party from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Carruthers Building, which is the old Clemente's Building, which is right downtown on Commercial Street in Astoria. And so that's this Friday from 6 to 9, a special pop-up preview party. And then, and he will be there, so you can speak with him and look at his work. There are magnificent, huge pieces and then some smaller pieces. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the work and his inspiration for that in the second half of the program. And then, of course, Second Saturday Art Walk is happening, and his work will be at Imogen Gallery. And that's from 5 to 8 this Saturday. And the show is called Accessible to All. So if you've just tuned in, my guest is the artist, the internationally well-known artist, Christos Kotsouras. He is Greek. He also has a German passport, and he is actually in the process of moving to Astoria full-time, although he will probably be on some planes to fly back and forth to some of his international destinations. And we are talking a little bit about his work, and of course, it's hard with the radio. You can't see his work, but we'll talk a little bit about the inspiration of he works in a studio. However, he gets the images which come to you at Fort Stevens, and right. Then you have this photographic memory.
Mm-hmm. Well, what requires to the way I'm working, what requires me is to be present, and to be present with all my senses and my thoughts and physically. I need to experience the air, the wetness, you know, the storm. I need to be there and not only see it, but also physically experience. I actually brought a catalog from Robert Adams, what we bought, The New World.
Robert Adams, we love Robert Adams and his work.
And I will ask for forgiveness if I don't do justice to the image that I choose to try to explain what it is to be in a certain place and on a certain time to create an image. And as we see here, the photograph has been taken in Denver, and it's an overpass. And the shadow, it throws to the right, lower right part of the picture, of the image. Must be about 10 o'clock in the morning, if I can say from the way the shadow is falling down. If you look a little bit closer, you can see on the back part of the town, some houses and some trees. The overpass, the railing, it creates a very nice geometrical. It gives away the geometrical shape of it, which leads you down to see the geometry of the man-made structure. But what happened? If you see on the left down part of the image, there is a figure walking out, carrying its shadow with it. So, to create an image, you cannot stage it. You have to be there, and you have to recognize it as it is, and click and make the image. Somebody else will have wait for that figure to go away, and the shadow. So this is the way I think that, or this is the way being present is everything what it is at the moment, and create through that.
That is a very arresting Robert Adams photograph, and it's true. If he had to be there at that moment when that figure was in the light and the shadow was there, right. And that was the moment.
Exactly. I mean, it's a choice. You know, when I'm working at the studio, when I'm working on those big pieces, it's always I'm required to make choices. What do I live in there, and what do I take out? What do I sense? How detailed is the piece, you know? And I really apologize that I took the freedom to take Mr. Adams' image to kind of like describe that. But that's exactly as I say. You cannot state these things. You have to be able to see it.
It's very inspiring.
And you have
actually,
to be able to to decide that this is the image. No.
And how wonderful that you, Robert Adams, who lives here in Astoria, we're so fortunate to have him, that you were able to use that image to describe how it works for you. I know that Royal Nebberger has written that your representation of nature is at once vast and profoundly personal. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a wonderful piece, which you can find online. And then and people have, over the years, commented on the use of, you know, the light and the dark, and how you have there's mystery, there's secrets, there's something very powerful in the work. And when I was looking, because art, of course, is so subjective, and we and you know, what is art? Oh my God! Look at all the answers you get to that. But one of the comments that I found online was the British artist David Hockney said, art has to move you and design does not, unless it's a good design for a bus.
Right.
And the thing is, when you stand in front of one of your paintings, and I've talked to some of the other people who are familiar with your work, who have your work, and they say that they can stand there and just, it draws them in. It makes them feel things. And that's because when you're at Fort Stevens, where you are now letting these images that are happening around you soak into your bones, your cells mm-hmm. of your body, and then you come back to the studio and you create these big canvases, although mm-hmm. you now have some small ones also.
Right, right.
That's new. People feel that, right? They feel the energy in the work.
Right. Well, for me to decide to work on a theme, it's a very time-consuming process. From the first impression to the first thoughts. Usually I mark something in my head, or I make a notice, and then I forgot about it. I'm working on other themes, on other paintings. But if this image keeps coming back and coming back, that means that withstands the time, the pressure of time. If it disappears, that means that it's gone. It was a nice impression, but it's gone. If it keeps coming up, back and back and back and back, then I know that I have a theme. I have something to work with. Going through that, then I make the first studies, always from memory. And once I go through that second phase of work, and it's still there, then I go into the painting, into the actual painting, where everything like really happens.
What I find interesting is that you're Greek. We think of Greeks as being very passionate people, and you have a lot of yes, and they are, and so you can sense this powerful energy within you, and yet you know, which is full of drama and movement, and yet when you go to Fort Stevens and you immerse yourself into that landscape, into a particular place which is very special for you, mm-hmm. of you found one place which really is your focal point where you stay.
Right. Well, I mean, you cannot avoid not to see the marks we make on that earth, on that place we live. So I do have a man-made structure for that series of work, which is be placed on the paintings on different moments and situations and colors and moods and it's a very humble equalitarian democratic place, and we tend to oversee it unless we need it. So just being out there with this very well placed, I have to give kudos, I have to make a very good compliment to the park department, how they have placed it, that it fits into the landscape without really standing out. But just having this humble structure, day in, day out, the seasons, the years, always be there present and never actually complaining.
That's a really interesting way of looking at
it. Just like that gives me the start to start looking off the landscape differently. Mm-hmm. Just really approach it from a very, very humble point of view.
And did the fire at Fort Stevens on Monday night destroy any of your favorite spots? There's a question from Terry.
I look at it out of the window, out of the studio window, and it hurt. I haven't gone out there yet.
Okay. So, yes, that just happened. So we'll see. Yeah. But so right.
And I knew how to locate it exactly because I pretty much know the whole distance there. It really hurt. I mean, I was watching it from outside the window. Mm-hmm. And it's, it's very painful.
Well, one of the things that we talked about earlier was the fact that you hope that the, just as you as an artist must slow down and pay attention to what's around you and absorb it so that you take it back into the studio and then create the canvases to bring it to all of us. Mm-hmm. You had said, because we just have a few minutes left, that what you hope people will do is to...
Well, let me approach it from just like also from the history of art a little bit. because I'm part of it. Well, want it or not, the works you are doing there and you put them out there, they will be compared to masters and works that pre-exist or the works that are going to come. And you see, when I'm out there, it's just like everything is in a flux. Everything is flowing. So what you're choosing to work with or what you see in the moment, it's already passed. So it's like a painting from El Greco, like Toledo, Storm Over Toledo, where it, when you look at it, the work, it will put you always in the question, what happens now? That's, for me, it's one of the most abstract paintings ever painted in the history of art. So what I want from the people is, like, when they come to the show, take a step back, look closer, and contemplate. Contemplate your own works, contemplate the time you spend, and just get over with this feeling of entitlement we have today.
Mm, and people being so busy, so caught up in everything,
exactly,
that they don't stop and allow themselves to be still and to really pay attention to what's around them, whether it's the tree, the sky. And that's really what you're doing, is you're paying attention in a very deep way.
And a very respectful way as well, I want to say, because that's another thing that we're probably lacking today in our lives, being able to respect the house we are living in.
Yes, indeed, and to be grateful for that. We just have another minute or so left. Is there anything else? Christos Kotsouras, international artist. He'll be at Imogen this Saturday, special pop-up preview party on Friday, this Friday, August 7th from 6 to 9. Anything else you'd like our listening audience to know?
Oh, that might seems like has been all about me, this war, but it's not. They have been a lot of people participating in very helpful ways for these paintings to be on the wall and to be viewed on Friday in the month of August. And they all know who they are. They all know how they have helped for this to happen. And I'm very thankful. And I have to say, I have met very amazing people in this little town of Astoria.
Indeed, there are amazing people. This is a unique, I mean, it's really, unique is so overused. It's hard to say. It's a one of a kind place, and it attracts characters here. And it's a singular place, really.
You see, when with describing things with words, they're like so difficult sometimes, because sometimes you have to strip them from their meaning to get them back down to the roots of what they really mean.
Yes, that's so true.
And that can happen only through action and interaction and communicating. And I do hope that I have started a communication with this work now.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you being here today. Thank you. Thank you. And I think you all will be delighted and fascinated and curious to meet Christos this Friday night or Saturday night. And you can find out more at Imogen Gallery in downtown Astoria, Oregon. Thank you so much for being there. Your paintings carry power and stillness, and we need the qualities of courage and attention and power and stillness in the world today.
Thank you so much, Donna.
Thank you, Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire, and I appreciate all of you who listen to Talk of Our Towns, and I also want to extend my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself. Today, take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the things that are going well in your life, there will always be those things that don't go well, but focus on the things that are going well. And when you take a deep breath, it helps relax your body, because most people are pretty darn stressful today. Focus on feeling good, on appreciating who you are and what you have, and give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back. For being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists, on the amazing planet we call Earth.